Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm going to bring you, by the way, this morning, good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, young people. As soon as we get done praying, I'm going to ask that you sit very quietly. There's no reason to leave the auditorium. I won't keep you here very long. But boy, I want you to listen in, lock in, don't distract your neighbor. You never know what God's going to do in the heart of somebody. And boy, you wouldn't want to be talking and distract somebody from what the Lord's trying to do in their life. So let's really work hard at giving good attention this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And Lord, thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What better news could we share? And Lord, good news from a far country. Use this message in our lives, in our hearts. For those of us that are saved, Lord, may we look back at that day and just rejoice. Thank God there was somebody that shared with us the good news. And Lord, for those that maybe are not saved, I remember what it's like to walk into a church lost, on my way to hell, not knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior, not even aware that I had such a need. But Lord, thank you for using the preaching of the Bible to stir my heart and the conviction of your Spirit upon me, Lord, so that that day I turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior. If there's someone here without Jesus, may this be the day of their salvation. Bless again our junior church, primary church, Lord. Bless those that are teaching, preaching the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me tell you a little bit of something about Tabitha's in-laws, okay? Some family secrets here I'll let you in on, okay? By the way, what a wonderful thing that she met A.J. Nichols and married A.J. Nichols. It's just wonderful to know that your daughter stayed in the will of God and that she followed the leading of the Lord and that she waited for the one that God would have for her and that she got married. And I couldn't ask for a better son-in-law than A.J. Nichols. Now, I will tell you something about his family, his mom, dad, brothers, sisters, that entire Nichols clan, okay? They are camera crazy. Do we know any families like that in here? I mean, everything that happens, we have to stop and take a picture of it. I mean, the first time that they took us out to eat when we were in California, we'd order our food. Oh, wait, stop, before we eat, let's get pictures. Okay, let's get pictures. So, and then after we ate, we had to have pictures. And then in the parking lot, it was a good place for some pictures. And then I've noticed that in Tabitha, I think she might be catching this disease that's happening out there because in their entire relationship, their first date, they had to stop for pictures. And then when they got engaged, now they do engagement pictures. I don't remember us doing things like this. I think they do pre-engagement pictures, engagement pictures, post-engagement pictures. And then they do save the date cards that has to have pictures on it. And then the official announcement that has pictures. And then the wedding, which takes longer to take pictures than it does to do the wedding. And then the reception, and then the honeymoon pictures, and then everything that's happened since then, pictures, pictures, pictures. Then I got something I didn't even know existed. She sent me a text this week and said, "Dad, here are our pregnancy pictures. She's pregnant." And they actually had one of their family members that has a real nice camera that does kind of amateur photography show up. I mean, like you would do senior pictures. The couple goes out and they stand and they do pregnancy pictures. I've got them on my phone. I'll be willing to show anybody that's bored enough to look at them, all right? And I mean, they pose the whole thing. They got one where they're kind of cuddled together, and Tabitha's got her hand on her tummy, and AJ's got a little chalkboard that says, "For this child I prayed." And who does this stuff? Pregnancy pictures. And I got them. And by the way, you know what? When I got that text with the pictures, I was on the trip with the young people. And you know what? My daughter, for those of you that don't know, lives clear out in Sacramento, California. That's a far country from here. That's a far country. And you know what? as much as I'm kind of having fun with it, I'm kind of glad that they do this all the time, because now, because of our cell phones, I can get these pictures. And you know what? I looked at that and I said, man, look at that. Is that sweet? What a wonderful daughter. What a stinking bum she married. And, you know, but I'm flipping through. And just, you know what that was, folks? Everything's okay, Dad. Everything's going well with the pregnancy. I wanted you to know and see and be a part of what's going on. Aren't you glad, those of you that have families that maybe live a little bit away, that from time to time that letter comes in the mail? Does anybody send letters anymore? Or that text comes on the phone, or some picture gets sent through the email, and just it's just good to hear good news. You don't get to see them because they don't live here locally, and so good news from a far country. Let me tell you something else that's just a delight. One of the best jobs I have here at Blood Throat Baptist Church, you're going to think it's crazy, but it's going to picking up the mail. And I've learned to just go to the mailbox, drive to the mailbox, then drive here and go over to the dumpster. All right? Because how much of the mail just, I just look at it and I just literally open my window, pull right on the buster and throw all the crazy catalogs away and all the junk mail and all the silly stuff. And then you had a stack that big, and then you actually walk into church with about this much mail. You know, you did the same thing at home. And so, but then I sort through it and I put, there's a bill, there's a bill, there's a bill. Brother Jack. And then, looky here, a letter from missionary. And many times, you think with 50-some missionaries, folks, you can imagine there's not too many days that go by where we don't get a letter from one of our missionaries. Now, this may not seem like a big deal, but one of the delights of my week is sometimes I'll have three or four at a time, and I personally open every letter from all of our missionaries. And I read them. I stop what I'm doing when I'm checking the mail. I read that letter. I've read every one of those that's posted back there. Now, before they ever go out there, I sit there and read it. And you know how many times I smile and say, isn't that good news? I pulled off some of the letters to share you some good news from a far country. The Putney family, our missionaries to Colombia. Starts out this way. A missionary often has to be a man with many different hats. For me, one of those hats has been that of a carpenter. Out of necessity, I've had to build my own pulpit and baptistry for the church. Now, the pulpit was not terribly hard, but for those who have never tried to construct a wooden baptistry, you know that it has to be a challenge to make it structurally sound, as water is very, very heavy. Here's the good news. Thankfully, in May, I finished it. We were able to test it, and we baptized our first convert here at the new church in Colombia. You know what I call that? Good news from a far country. Here's Rodney and Kathy Fitzsimmons, our missionaries to Haiti. How about this? 2003, we started the Berean Baptist Church in the village of Desfontaines. The pastor of this new work, Hubert Saitout. Was saved in our first church plant in the village of Dubon in 1986. Now think about this. Their very first missionary church plant, they saw a man saved. He made a profession of faith and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he did so as a lost church member. He had been a member of a church. By the way, you know what? Joining a church doesn't save you. Getting baptized doesn't make you ready for heaven. You can be joining every church in the county. Watch this, I'm being honest with you. You can join every church in the county and split hell wide open. It's not joining a church that gets you saved. So he was a church member, but unsaved, and he received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, here's the good part. This happened back in 2003. After trusting Christ for salvation, he completed both levels of study in our Bible Institute and then approached me about starting a brand new church. Over the past 12 years, the Lord has blessed with many souls saved. Please pray for this pastor and his family as they face continual opposition from many in this village who are involved in voodooism. They often struggle also with poor health, but they're faithful in preaching the gospel and have seen many people say, I said, that's good news. Mongolia, got a letter from Mongolia, the Mueller family. Our last couple of months in Mongolia were busy. We conducted 7 weeks of camp, which continued right up until the time we left. The first 4 weeks were in the city at the church starting on June 9th. We had 3 weeks for 10 and 12-year-olds and 2 weeks for 7 to 9-year-olds. There was a total of 3 weeks, two of them being for combined age groups. We ran a dual schedule with the different age groups, sometimes together, sometimes separate. Our goal for the summer camp is always to draw new kids in so that they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to see God's blessing in regard to this goal this year. Once again, new children came to camp. They heard the gospel. Many were saved. A particular blessing was a 12-year-old girl who came to our church for the first time this summer. She responded to the invitation of salvation in Jesus Christ and even followed through by being baptized before we left for our furlong. You know what that's called? Good news from a far country. I mean, this is fun. If you don't swing back there from time to time and read the letters, you're missing a blessing. A lot of good news. How about the Todd family in Costa Rica? This is good news. Thank you all for praying for Ashley and our son. Evan Douglas was born by C-section on February 23rd at 1:19 p.m. He weighed in at almost 8 pounds, 10 ounces, 20 inches. Mom and baby are doing great. Good news from a far country. How about the Owens family in Bulgaria? Praise the Lord. We had a lady saved. Her name is Vanya. She's accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior while I was out soul winning. Please pray for her and her husband as they're expecting their first child soon and that he would also be saved. Hey, it's good news from a far country. How about Tommy Tillman? Isn't he something else? Brother Tillman, we've supported him literally for decades here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Thailand. For those of you that don't know him, a missionary, think about this, young people, a missionary to the leper colonies. Can you imagine going to a leper colony and starting a church and witnessing to people with leprosy? He's a dedicated man. Here's one of his recent letters. In Thailand, we have a monsoon season every year. This means that it pours down rain every day. In the last 2 months, it has been flooding and raining everywhere. Also, at this time of the year, the lepers are so faithful to keep on coming to church and worship God despite the rain. It is also the time when they get sick more often because of the weather change. I am now in my 31st year of working with lepers, and they are certainly my people, and I love them all very much. We thank God that there has been 4 people saved through the correspondence courses throughout Thailand. We've been told that a correspondence course would not work in Thailand. People who make these statements just do not know the power of the Word of God. You know what that's called? Good news. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about all these places that I talked about and all that I read about are happening in a far country. But you know what? We get a letter and you know what? We have good news. And there's nothing like good news from a far country. Hey, young people, watch this. Listen, folks, I got another letter up here. And it's got good news from a far country. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the Bible, the King James Holy Bible. I'm talking about the best book in the world. I'm talking about the only book that was ever given to us by God. And you know what it is? It's a letter from a far country. You say, preacher, you're going to have to explain that a little bit. I got some questions. Who's the letter from? The letter's from the God of the universe. The letter's from the Creator of the world, God the Father. Where is the letter from? It's from a far country. He sits on His throne on high. The letter's from heaven. Say, wait a minute, preacher, but wait a minute. Every letter's written to somebody. Who is the letter to? In Revelation chapter 22, watch this. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't it interesting? Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let me tell you who this letter's to. The Bible says in Revelation 22, it's to whosoever will. But it also says that it's specifically for those who are thirsty. It's important. You know what? The Bible isn't going to mean something to you or much to you until you get thirsty. What does that mean, preacher? That don't make any sense. Remember when you were growing up? I don't know about you, but us boys, we were never just thirsty and we were never just hungry. We were dying of starvation or we were dying of thirst. That was the phrase we used. We came to the home, Mom, I got to have something to drink. I'm dying of thirst. Now, we weren't really dying of thirst, but we thought we were dying of thirst. Oh, Mama, supper almost ready. I'm dying. I'm dying of hunger. Now, we weren't really dying of hunger. We were just a little hungry. I mean, it had been almost an hour since we ate something, and we were dying of hunger. And you know what? You know when you're going to seek food? When all of a sudden you get hungry to seek food. You know when you're going to stop and say, I need something to drink? When you get thirsty. And all of a sudden, water's going to become important to you. By the way, those of you that have been out west, and you've been to some of the desert states, and you know, you go into some of the mountain regions, you get into those high altitudes, you know what they tell us from Indiana out there? You've got to drink water on purpose. Because of the dry heat, there's been people that have become dehydrated, they've become dizzy, they've got heat stroke, because you know what? Their body needed the water, and they didn't even know it. And you know what? If you don't feel thirsty, you're not going to seek water. That doesn't mean that your body doesn't need it. It just means you don't know it doesn't need it. Now, let me tell you this, folks. Let me just be honest with you. There's a whole group of people walking on this planet today. And you know what? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? They're not thirsty for Him. They need the story of the gospel, but they're not hungry for it. Now, do they need it? Yes. Are they going to die without it? Yes. But they're not aware of it. But aren't you glad when God takes your life? Now, watch this, because this may seem like a bad thing, but it's not. God's doing you a favor when He shakes your world a little bit. And I thought about that Philippian jailer this week, and you know what? He was satisfied. He didn't need anything until God shook his jail. And all of a sudden, he came down to in front of the Apostle Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? And you know what a lot of times brings people to church? God shook their world a little bit. And you know what? God will allow some things to come into your life to make you realize that you have a need. And that you need Him. Hey, if you're trying to live your life without the help of God, you're trying to live it in such a way that you were never intended to live it. And people for a while can go along in their haughtiness and their pride, and I don't need God, and religion's a crutch. And by the way, I've heard all those things. But the honest truth is, sooner or later, life is going to get real. And you know what? You're going to realize that I can't do this by myself. And God let something come into your life to make you realize, I've got a need. You know what thirsty means? Being thirsty means? It means you become aware of a need that you have. What is this matter of hunger? You become aware of a need that you have. What's this matter of coming to church and being open to the Scriptures and open to the message of salvation? Something's happened into your life that's caused you to realize, I need the Lord. I need God. I don't want to keep trying to live without Him. Hey, you know what I say often? If you put God into something, you think it's going to get better or worse. If you take God out of something, do you think it's going to be better or worse? And the honest truth is, folks, those of those in this community, God bless them, I'm for them and I'm praying for them. But you know what? If they're trying to do this thing called life without God, it's going to be harder. It's not going to be better. Hey, run to God. He's got something for you. He's got some good news for you this morning. So who is this letter to? It's to whosoever will. But you have to get thirsty. You have to realize that you have a need. That's why I'm glad that I walked into a little country church as a little boy in north of Brazil, Indiana. And you know what? The preacher preached against sin. The preacher named sin. Because you know what? Before I had an awareness of sin, I didn't realize that I had a need for forgiveness. And by the way, don't be upset if you go to a church and the preacher preaches against some things that the Bible said is wrong, even if those things are in your life. He's doing you a favor. Because He's allowing the Word of God to shine a spotlight on a need in your life. And the longer that I sat there, the more that I realized that, hey, that Bible, it's saying that some things that's wrong with me. And I am a sinner. And I have a need. And you know what? I started getting thirsty. I need something. I started getting hungry. I need something. I don't even know what it is yet, but I need something. And you know what? If you're here today and God's kind of shift your world a little bit and got you to a place where you were willing to walk into an old-fashioned Bible church, and I don't care what it is, Bible preaching church, I don't care what it is that's touched your life. Let me say this, it may be something difficult, maybe something hard, but if it's bringing you towards God, you ought to thank the Lord for it. Because you know what? You realize that I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Good news from a far country. Say, preacher, okay, we see that the letter, who the letter's from, the God of the universe. We see the where the letter's from. It's from heaven. It's from on high. We see who the letter's to. It's to each and every one of us, at least those of us that are willing to realize how important it is. But here's what I need to know, preacher. What does the letter say? What does the letter say? What is? I mean, there's a lot of words in this. There's 66 books. Could you just kind of summarize it? Could you just tell me what's in the letter? Let me tell you what's in the letter. Good news! Good news from a far country. It's good news! Now, when I was reading these missionary letters, Brother Levi, I read some things that were good, but I could have read some things that are bad too. And can I share with you something? I'm going to give you some good news, but I'm going to have to first of all give you some bad news. But you know what? Here, I had somebody say, okay, I got good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first? How many always say you want the bad news first? Might as well get it over with. How many want the good news first? A few of you, I want to hear the good. Then maybe I'll just leave and I don't have to listen to the bad, you know. Oh, folks, listen to me. I've got good news for you, but you know what? I got some good news and bad news. But I'm going to give you the bad news so that I can give you the good news. Watch this thing. What's the bad news, preacher? I thought we were talking about good news from a far country. Well, it's going to get good. But the first thing we have to realize is this. Our sin is a problem. Our sin disqualifies us from going to heaven. Our sin stands between us and God. Our sin has a penalty, a price. Our sin, if we don't do something about it, will one day land us in a devil's hell. Hey, that's what's in the letter, folks. This isn't what Jerry Ross is making up. I read it in the letter. You say, wait a minute, are you suggesting that I'm a sinner? Well, I'll let the Bible speak to that. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If there is somebody that's perfect, that's never sinned, please introduce yourself to me after the service, because I'd certainly like to meet you. Come on, we all know better than that. The Bible goes on to say, all have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden. And watch this, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If there's one thing the whole human race has in common, it's this, we have at some point broken the laws of Almighty God, we have sinned. Because sin is a transgression of the law. Let me be real specific for you young men, you young ladies. I want you to understand. The Bible says do not bear false witness. The Bible tells us not to lie. All of us have lied at some point in our life. Come on, let God be true and every man a liar. And so we all at times have not told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which means that sometimes, listen, you know what that means? We've broken one of the commands of God. That created a sin in our life. That sin stands between us and God. If we don't do something about that sin's going to send us to a devil's hell. Preacher, I thought you said there was good news from a far country. You got to be, listen, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you thirsty. I'm trying to get you to understand you got a need. I'm getting you to understand that, you know what, I want to hear the good news. I need to hear the good news. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, preacher, please, that's bad news. What's the good news? Here's the good news. God loves you. But you said we sinned. I know, but God loves you. But preacher, if you don't know half of what I've done in my life, well, I know this, God loves you. No, preacher, I could pull out the list. It doesn't matter. God loves you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Good news. God loves you. I got more good news. He wants you to live with Him forever. Say, where's that in the Bible? Where's that in the letter? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, preacher, you told me that I'm a sinner, and that's what the Bible says, and the honest truth is, an examination of my life would prove that the Bible's right. But you also said that God loved me? Yes. And He wants me to live in heaven with Him forever? Yeah. Is this good? Good news from a far country? All right, this is what God gave us in the Bible. Wait a minute, preacher. I got a question. What about this sin? I got more good news. Watch this. Jesus made it possible for your sins to be forgiven. How about that for some good news? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved. How are we saved? By believing the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here's the gospel. Three things. Christ died for our sins. Wait a minute, preacher. We were talking about this sin thing, and I've sinned, and it's a perfect heaven and a perfect God, and this sin is between me and God, and this sin is going to condemn me to hell, and this sin is going to send me to hell, and what do I do about this sin? I can't wish it away. I mean, it's there. What do I do about it? What can be done? Watch this. You and I could do nothing about it. That's the honest truth. Well, maybe if I try to do as much good as I can. So you go and you do good, 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 and you turn around and there's your sin still there. Well, I got to do more good, 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 good. The sin's still there. I'll go to church. And you go to church and you look beside you in the pew and there's your sin sitting. And you know what? You say, well, I'm going to go join the church. And so you get your name on a church roll and you know what? You walk back to your seat and there's the sin sitting there. And then you say, I'll get baptized. So you go talk to some preacher that'll baptize you without you being saved first. And you know what? You go in a dry sinner and you come out a wet sinner. You're like, I've tried everything. I can't dodge this. I can't. How do I get rid of the sin? How do I get it off my record? How do I get it forgiven? What plan could God? You said there's nothing we can do. We can't do anything about this sin. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus decided He was going to do something about my sin and about your sin. You know what He did? He stood up in the portals of heaven and He said, Father, somebody has to die. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die for Jerry Ross's sin. How about I go die for Jerry Ross's sin? He raised his hand. He volunteered. And Jesus was transported from heaven by the Holy Spirit of God, placed in the womb of a little virgin Jewish girl by the name of Mary. He was born, He raised, He grew up in this world, never having sinned. That's important. The Son of God, the sinless Son of God, He never had to, He never sinned. And because He never sinned, He never had to die for His sins, because He was sinless. And you know what? He began a 3-year ministry and went around doing good and did all kinds of things that proved to everybody that was there, that was willing to look and watch, that He was the Son of God and God the Son. The miracles He performed, there was no doubt about who He was. And yet the people, out of jealousy, put Him on a cross. And you know what? Jesus allowed them to put Him on the cross. And then there on Calvary, all of the sins of all mankind, all of the sins of everyone that's ever lived, everyone that was living, everyone that would ever live, including me and you, was put on Jesus Christ. And you know what? He died on the cross and paid for my sins and paid for your sins. And that means that we can be forgiven. I mean, I can go do a bunch of good works and I can't get rid of my sin. I can go join a church, I can't get rid of it. I can go get baptized, I can't get rid of it. I can join every organization out there and do all the things I can. I mean, I can do it all! And guess what? My sin's still there. There's only one thing that will erase my sins, pay for my sins, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood on the cross to pay for my sins. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But I love this verse. For He, speaking of Jesus, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, preacher, are you standing up there telling me that you know that you're on your way to heaven? Yes. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said you were a sinner. Yes. Well, what about that sin that no matter what you tried to do kept following you around? I know. But there was a day when I decided that I was going to put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ had done on that old rugged cross. And you know what? I was going to believe that Jesus was God and that He died for my sins and that He was buried and that He rose again. And with all my heart, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man, when the preacher preached that, something started down in my heart and in my soul, and I realized I can't get rid of my own sin. I can't take care of my own sin, but I don't have to. Jesus already done it. All I got to do is just go forward, and I just got to confess that I'm a sinner and profess with my mouth my belief in Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that He died for my sins and was buried and rose again. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what I did? I walked forward, knelt at an old-fashioned altar, and I called upon Jesus Christ as best as I could with all the belief that I had in my heart, all the faith I could have. God, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. I believe that You love me. I believe You died for me. And I believe that You'll forgive me of my sins. I'm asking You, please be my Savior. And you know what? Jesus Christ heard that from heaven. The Bible says there's a book in heaven called the Book of Life. And you know what He did? He had my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one of these days when I get to heaven, they're going to check that book and say, yep, Jerry Ross, we got him right here. Rock Run Baptist Church, such and such date, such and such time. He knelt down and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. We have no record of his sin. No record of his sin. You know what? Jesus paid for all. No record of his sin. He gets to come on in heaven and live forever. Hey, I'm done, but look right up here. I brought you the good news. But you got to choose what you're going to do with it. Let me just ask you a question. From the time that you were born till now, as you look back on the timeline of your life, can you find a place where the Holy Spirit of God began to convict you of your sin? And where you understood that you were a sinner? And that you needed Jesus as your Savior? Can you look back and find a spot in time where you chose to put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you called upon Him and asked Him to save you? For many people in this room, right now you're going back in your memories and, preacher, I might not be able to tell you the exact time or date. Maybe I didn't write that down, but in my mind I can go to an exact spot and I remember the day that I got saved. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I know I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven, not because I deserved it, not because there's any good in me, but because I went to God and He forgave me of my sin. By the way, there's a peace that comes with that. There's a peace that comes with it. But there's also, no doubt, some people in our church maybe be here this morning. By the way, it wouldn't be unusual if there'd be several that would say, preacher, I'm looking back at the timeline of my life, and the honest truth is, there's not a place and there's not a time when I was truly saved. And you know what? God is working on my heart. And preacher, I know that I need this. What you're talking about, I need it. I need to be saved. I need to settle this thing once and forever. And let me just say this. There's no better time to be saved than now. You're in a church. I mean, what better place to get saved than church? You're amongst God's people. I mean, people around are praying for you and rooting for you. And you know what? They're remembering the time that they got saved. And there's probably more than one person that needs to make that decision this morning. Preacher, what do? I mean, I want to go to heaven. I want to get my sins forgiven. I want my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. What do I do? In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. And we're going to invite you to come. We'll have heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody will be looking around. We're going to ask you to step from your seat to the nearest aisle. Come up here. We'll have two men waiting up here. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and go over some verses and make sure that you understand. And then you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And you can look back forever at this day and say that, I know I'm going to heaven, because on Sunday morning, September 13th, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I mean, it'll be settled forever. And you know what? It may be a young person. I mean, we had one Sunday here recently where in the same service, a 12-year-old girl came forward and got saved, and a 78-year-old woman came forward and got saved in the same service. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If God's working on your heart, get saved today? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. No talking. Let's just be real still for just a moment. Listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. You say, "Preacher, boy, that's good news. God loves me, and He wants me to be in heaven with Him forever. And He sent His Son Jesus to make it possible that I can be forgiven. And He would save me today." I mean, all those things are true, preacher. Yep, I read it in the letter. I read it in the Holy Bible. God loves you. God wants you to be saved today. How many would say with uplifted hand, "Preacher, I thought back in my life, and I was looking down the timeline of my life, and I was trying to figure out, have I been saved, not been saved? And the honest truth is, the Holy Spirit of God has convicted me. God has convicted me of my sin. I know there's a need in my life. I don't know for sure that if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. I just don't know that, preacher. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that. But God is working in my heart. He's working in my heart this morning. And what I'd like to do is just pray for you. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I won't call your name. I promise you. We don't do those things. Nobody's going to come get you. But this has to be a decision that you make. The God in heaven, the God of heaven loves you. And He loved you enough to send His Son to die on the cross for you. And if you're feeling that God is working in your heart and that you would be willing to be saved today, and I want to at least have a word of prayer for you. And I may not know your name, but I can pray for you. "Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't believe I am saved. I don't think if I died right now according to the Bible, I'd go to heaven. But I'd sure like you to pray for me because God's working on my heart. I'm not saved, preacher. I'm not. But I lift my hand right now and ask that you'd pray for me. Would you lift your hand? I'm not saved, but I'd like to have you pray for me. Just remember me in your prayers." I see a hand back there. Very good. Another hand. Anybody out, preacher? The honest truth is, God's working in my heart right now. And the honest truth is, I need to be saved. I need to make this decision. Very good. In just a minute, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to have everyone stand. And as soon as the piano player begins playing, if you'll just slip out of your seat and come up here, we'll get someone to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Heavenly Father, I want to pray, dear God, for these that have raised their hand this morning. Lord, thank You that Your Holy Spirit still works. I pray, dear God, that You would help them to make the right decision, Lord. That You would use the Word of God to stir their hearts, get them to understand that their sins can be forever forgiven. I pray, Lord, that You would use, dear God, this gospel message, this good news from a far country in the life of someone here today. We pray in Jesus' name.